They say hindsight is 20/20. Anything that you wish you knew when you started out?
I'd say that the most important thing, I think that having patience is really, really important. You know, when I first started, after I had success with that, my uncle's quarter horse, I had success after that with a couple other horses. And then I went through a spell where I had spent a lot of money on horses that didn't do too well. And I was pushing those horses, right. You know, and I think having patience with a horse is really important.
Welcome to the Horse Trailer Post podcast, the show where we cover anything and everything related to the horse trailer industry. I'm your host, Brad Heath, owner and operator of Double D Trailers with over 25 years of experience in the horse industry. I'm excited to bring you the latest news, tips to everything equine. I can't wait to share my passion for horses and horse safety with all of you. So saddle up, join me every other week for the Horse Trailer Post podcast.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Horse Trailer Post. Today we have with us Miles Henry. He's the owner of HorseRacingSense.com. Miles, welcome to our podcast.
Hey, thank you a lot, Brad.
Yeah, good to have you. So can you just tell our listeners a bit about your journey from growing up in Louisiana with, you know, quarter horses, and now you're running the Horse Racing Sense website?
Sure. I started off with my first exposure to horses was at a real young age. My grandfather raised and broke horses pretty much for a living. He had a cattle ranch. He worked horses. He used horses for his living. And we, of course, joined them, you know, driving cattle, using them for just various things growing up. I lived with my grandparents for a period of time. We didn't do much pleasure riding, which always at a young age, I looked at horses as part of a more of a chore or a job, you know, and he would bring his horses. He didn't breed horses, but he would buy young horses, yearlings and 2 year olds, and he would take them through different stages. It was usually about a 3 year process. And at the end of 3 years, he would have a completely broke, trained horse, trained for hunting, roping, and driving cattle. And his horses were usually sold for a pretty good bit of money, so he was able to do pretty well with that.
Well, yeah, that was one thing that Brooke had thrown out on our questions, is I read your grandfather played a significant role, and that your uncle gave you your first racehorse, that right?
Yeah, I'll tell you how that happened is as I went through high school and got a little bit older, I got into barrel racing, and we used to buy young horses and train them for barrel racing. And one of the things that we did a lot was we would watch the races, you know, quarter horse races, and we would always be looking for a horse that had the potential to be a good barrel horse. We would look at sometimes the bloodlines, but also you may see a quarter horse that couldn't run 350 yards. But he would come out of the gates and he would for 200 yards, he would be in the lead and then he would get caught. Well, we would look at those horses and say, wow, that'd be a great barrel horse, you know, because of the sprinting involved. So we would buy horses off the track and we would train them for barrel racing. And my uncle, he owned quarter horses and he was racing. He had a horse that I was interested in. So I went and talked to him. I find it interesting. Anyway, I went and talked to him about the horse, and he said, well, look, I'll let you have this horse. He says, but I think this horse has potential to still earn me money, because he was the breeder for the horse. So the breeders get a 25% breeder's fee if the horse continues to earn. So he didn't want me to go straight to the barrels with it. And he lived in North Louisiana. I lived in South Louisiana. And he told me, he said, they got some good quarter horse trainers in South Louisiana. He said, I'll give you the horse. Would you mind taking it to one of those trainers? It'd be your horse, you get the earnings, but give my horse a chance, you know, at least two chances on the track with a different trainer. So I brought him down here, and that's what I did. And the horse won. He ended up winning. Well, he ran second for probably three times. He ran second. He ran a few thirds. So he was earning us money, and we were happy. He finally ended up winning and breaking his maiden. And after that, his racing career was over. He wasn't that good of a horse. He, you know, that's one thing about horse racing. They have a ceiling, and his ceiling was maiden races. And once he broke his maiden, when we ran him against non-winners of two, he was always towards the rear. He just actually got lucky to win that race. So we turned him into a barrel horse, but that gave us the bug to start with horse racing.
Yeah. So you've been in lots of aspects of horse racing, what, 25 plus years. I'm sure you've seen a lot of change and a lot of trends that you have observed in the industry over that period.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the medical care, for one thing, the also supplements, you know, like this morning, I just ordered some Bodybuilder, which we use, and it's by a company, I think, called Equade. But there's a lot of supplements we use, a lot of weak technology. We have the Polar heart rate monitor. Right. And we don't use it on every horse, but, you know, when we're looking at fitness of and getting a horse ready to race, we'll put the heart rate monitor on it, and we'll, you know, work it at different paces. So let's say that we'll put the heart rate monitor and just jog the horse around the track for, you know, one or two laps, and we'll just get a baseline for his heart rate, and then we'll jog him longer and shorter. So we monitor and see if he's fit enough to race at the time. Chiropractic care is something that's really come a long ways. There's a, you know, just a lot of different, mostly technology I've seen has been a big change.
Yeah. Yeah. If someone like myself wanted to get into the horse racing industry, any advice that you would have?
I would advise people not to get in the horse racing business to make money. I think that you need to get into the horse racing business because you enjoy horses, that you like the excitement of the horse racing, that you enjoy horses just in general. It's hard to try and say, okay, I'm going to invest X amount of dollars into this horse to earn money, you know, and see a return. And the reason I say that is because, you know, horses get injured. You know, I mean, there's a lot right. of risk involved in horses. I've bought horses before that I invested money in that I thought would be the best horse of, you know, that I've ever owned. And it still hasn't run yet. This is a horse, but, and it may never hit the track. You got to look at the percentage of horses that actually make it to the track, and then the percentage of horses that actually win a race. It's very small. So my advice would be, if you decide to get into the horse racing business, don't do it to try and earn a living, for sure.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, you've had race horses and barrel horses and hunting horses. And you mentioned earlier, you know, if a horse sprints that first 200, that, hey, that's a great barrel horse right there. Do you have a personal favorite between those, between barrel hunting and racing?
I enjoy the race horses. What we do is we buy our race horses as yearlings. So, you know, we see them grow up, you know, they're thoroughbred, you know, the barrel racing horses are quarter horses. You know, I enjoy all the horses, but right now I focus more on the race horses.
Right, right. Racing's in the blood, it sounds like.
Right.
Over your trail riding experience and adventures over the years, any experience that comes to mind you want to share there?
Well, just recently, you know, and just recently we were trail riding at Bogachita State Park. And for the first time in my life, believe it or not, my friend, they all love to ride mules. I always ride a horse. So my friend, he said, hey, why don't we swap up? You ride my mule. He says, once you ride a mule, they all say, once you ride a mule, you'll never go back to a horse. So I said, okay, well, that sounds fine. So I rode his mule. The mule had a good handle on it. No problem. Walked everything. We're walking up to a waterbed, like a small creek. And while we're approaching the creek, all of a sudden the mule just slows down slower and slower, and he stops. And he rolls right in the water, you know, with me on his back. Luckily, I was able to, you know, leap to the side off his back. But the mule just laid down in the water and started rolling around. And I, of course, you know, he jumped back up and I got right back on him and we kept on going. But yeah, that was a recent experience on trail riding.
Good stuff. Well, moving on to the business side of the website. So what inspired you to create the Horse Racing Sense website? And a second question on that, how do you come up with the content to be informative and engaging?
Well, originally I thought that it would be nice to set up a website about horse racing, because especially from a small person, you know, a person who does not a big outfit, you know, like, for example, I own 6 racehorses right now. We have a couple that are that we haven't brought over yet. So I don't see very much information about that. So I decided to go ahead and start a website. But once I started the website, I realized there's really not enough. It's not a big market for just that. So from there, I decided to go ahead and just start writing articles about horses in general, you know, and more about horse health, horse hooves, horseshoes, horse riding, horse tack. And I didn't just focus. I ventured further out than just focusing on horse racing.
Yeah, it's a lot of content. Do you write all of that content? Just curious on that.
I probably write about 90% of it myself, wow. I would say. Yeah, I write a lot of it myself. I have had people that, you know, sponsored articles where people's actually submitted articles to me. Mm-hmm. I've had people who were in the horse industry and contacted me and asked about submitting articles, and I've accepted some of their articles. I've actually reached out to people before and asked them if they would write articles as well. But I would say maybe 80% I write myself, you know, 80 to 90% I write. I actually, a lot of times will run into a problem with one of our horses. I'll do a search on the internet and I'll find out that there's nothing written about that. And then like leg injuries, you know, a lot of leg injuries, and there's always something new coming up. I just had a horse that we couldn't figure out why it was limping. We tried everything. We would put the hoof testers on it. We had it had his knees x-rayed. We had all these things. In the long run, we found out that the horse had a soft sole, and that when it would walk across the gravel, it would kind of bruise itself. It wasn't abscessed or anything else. It was just a soft sole. So we had to, you know, I started researching on the internet, how's the best way to handle this? But we ended up going to a process of, you know, using copper tox, and then we would use soft sole, and we would rotate around, and he had a full recovery, a really good recovery, and his sole toughened up. And I wrote an article about souls of, you know, of horses.
Yeah, that's awesome. I heard through the grapevine you may start a YouTube channel. I don't know how true that is. So what can we expect there?
Well, I started a YouTube channel, and I haven't, you know, I'm not really good with that yet, but I went ahead and got it set up. I did a couple videos about horse breeds on it, like the fastest horse breed. I did one on that. I haven't recorded and showed my face or showed us. I did do one of our training jockeys. I happened to be filming him while he was running, coming around the track on a young horse. And that horse started bucking and threw him. I tell you, threw him probably 10 feet in the air. So I had all that on film. So I did post that video on the YouTube channel. And
got 1 million views.
And I posted a video of our barn, walking around our barn and kind of just showing, here's how we do where we keep our horses, and here's the tack room, and here's our training center where we jog the horses around the track, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I'll take a look at all that. Sounds interesting. And I definitely want to see how many views that your jockey got on being bucked there. So you wrote a book, The Equine Business Bible. What prompted you to write that? And what do you think, or who do you think can benefit from it?
Well, I wrote that book for people who are thinking about going into the horse business and looking at the different aspects of what you can do. Because over the years, I've made money with horses in different ways. I used to take in horses for boarding, pasture boarding, which was easy money. You know, In New Orleans, we have the Fairgrounds racetrack. So the Fairgrounds, when it closes, a lot of horse owners don't have land to keep their horses.
Right.
So they would pay me a certain amount of money per month to house their horses. And all I had to do was give them pasture land. You know, of course, I had a nice facility, board fences, and you would have access to water, and you'd make sure they had enough hay and forage and things like that. So that was a little bit of extra income. Then I have friends that board horses, and they board them in the, in a barn. And then I have friends that train horses, you know. So I knew a lot about different ways and aspects that people who love horses, and, you know, I'm sure you're like me, not only are we horse lovers, but most of our friends probably are too. And a lot of them work different jobs and would like to earn money doing something they love. So I took a lot of the different aspects of what I've learned over the years and put it in that book.
Yeah, I like it. You know, they say hindsight is 20/20. Anything that you wish you knew when you started out?
I would say that the most important thing, I think that having patience is really, really important. You know, when I first started, after I had success with that, my uncle's quarter horse, I had success after that with a couple other horses. And then I went through a spell where I had spent a lot of money on horses that didn't do too well. And I was pushing those horses, right. You know, and I think having patience with the horse is really important. Like, right, for example, like right now at my age, I bought two yearlings at the same time a couple years ago. One of them has raced probably 14 races, and he's doing, you know, pretty well. He's only won two, but he's placed or been in third, you know, second, third, a bunch of times. So he's done okay. The other yearling I bought at the same time hasn't had his first race yet, you know, and I'm really not even disappointed with him. He's just maturing differently. He's run into some growth issues, you know. It took longer to develop him, you know, and 20 years ago, I would have sold the horse already. You know, I would have been impatient with them.
Right. Closing thoughts. What's next for Miles Henry Horse Racing Sense? Any new ventures, expansions?
Well, I did write another book. I tried to go with the second book. I tried to go with a broader topic, you know, and I wrote Horse Sense, a beginner's guide to mastering the art of horse ownership. And I'm trying to go with this book. I'm kind of targeting more first time horse owners. But besides that, I mean, we're on our team together. We're kind of on a routine now. Each year I try and look for two yearlings, and we bring them into the fold. We start breaking them in January, and we just continue with our older horses as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Miles, thank you so much for taking the time to join our podcast, and we'll add your links in on the video. But for our listeners, check out Miles's website. That's Horse Racing Sense, S-E-N-S-E, all lowercase together, .com. And definitely the Equine Business Bible. And we look forward to that second book as well. Thanks so much, Miles.